Inner Voice, a heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. Now, this is a show about what matters most in life, our mind, thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. Now, in this show, I'll have two guests. That's exciting. First, I will speak to Dr. Danielle Sadiq. He's a psychotherapist and the author of Balancing the Wheel. And then I will talk to Carly Pollack, who's a certified clinical nutritionist and the author of Feed Your Soul. So today is going to be all about well-being. And guess what? I need it. I'm going to get advice from both of them, and hopefully you are going to gain a lot of knowledge and wisdom from our two guests. You can call us on the studio line if you want to talk to either one of them or me, 951-922-3532. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140. Or go to www.fujian.com.
Here is the tip of the week. Now, is there a possibility for one to be happy under any circumstance? If you are only considering happiness as having a joyous feeling, you're right. That's not. You can't do that. So there are appropriate emotions that get triggered and felt considering different circumstances. In a case of experiencing a loss or somebody leaving or death, I mean, there's appropriately, you're going to feel sad, angry, agitated, or even anxious. In the case of experiencing gaining a great relationship, a great work, job, career, appropriately, you're going to feel joy, gratitude, blissfulness, elated, excited. So we have appropriate emotions. So there is, however, an opportunity for a state of happiness under any circumstance if you consider happiness to be a state that holds positive beliefs, accepting the appropriate emotions that arise, developing actions, things you do toward a betterment of your life. Now, even in the face of unfortunate or traumatic event, now this can also be equated to resilience or post-event trauma growth. Have you heard of post-traumatic stress disorder? But there's also post-traumatic growth, where we create resiliency, we look at events and things different way so that we can come out and learn from them. The ability to attend, to distinguish between the reality as it shows up out there and being aware of one's thought out here in their world, being with their feeling and emotions in here that arises and create an intention of growth, allows you to deal with the reality in a way that utilizes your utmost strength, learn new skills, and create the best possible solutions available to you at that time, at the time that something happens. This will allow you to come back to the state of happiness, because when you look at happiness itself, it's not just an emotion. It's all that can happen. So when you look at something that is right there in front of you, you're going to have the emotions because you think about it in a particular way. If you're shifting the thought and you're looking at all the great things that can also happen, although the event is not that great. You might go through a loss. Through that, you're going to go through emotions, but then you're going to come out to the other side looking at what you have gained. If you've lost a person, you can look at what you've learned from that relationship, what it was there for you to learn, or were there a possibility of you doing something different? And everything that comes out of whatever event it is, you get to be turning yourself into a happiness state again. So the state of happiness means positive thoughts, positive beliefs, positive emotions, or whatever emotions are there. You can even go through your sadness and still allow yourself to just be with it and release it and then shift it into a positive space and then do the actions in order to gain what you want. In this space, that's the space that you can consider yourself a happy person overall, no matter what happens. Isn't that all of what we want? We want to feel grateful about life, no matter what it brings, because there's no way we can control. No matter what we do, we cannot control what comes at us, right? But we can co-create what we think about it, what we keep inside, what we carry inside into the future. That's what makes someone a happy and a joyous and a positive thinker and move on and resilient with life, or someone which anything that comes from outside breaks us, takes us into a powerless place and holds us down, and it takes a long time to come out of that. And that type of happiness and the joyousness is contagious, and it allows people around us to also gain from it and learn and move forward. And when we allow ourselves to go into a depressive state, we also, it's contagious. It allows people around us to also have get angry and agitated because we probably created with them. So choose what is it that you want. I suggest this, create a happiness state for yourself, even though something that shows up is not as happy. So under any circumstance, you get to be happy. We'll be right back with our first guest, Dr. Daniel Sadiq.
Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the Awareness Integration Path to Create the Life You Want. You deserve it.
Take KMET 1490 AM with you everywhere you go by downloading our free smartphone apps found on the KMET website, KMET1490AM.com. You can also go to the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store on your phone to download the free app. Now you can listen live or play any of your favorite programmers' podcasts using your smartphone. Don't miss out on the free KMET smartphone apps. Go to KMET1490AM.com and download your free phone app today.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, listeners. This is Christopher from The Christopher Show. Hey, if you miss one of our shows here at KMET, don't worry about it. You can go to our webpage, and that's KMET1490AM.com. Go to the homepage, click on the SoundCloud tab, and hear any show anytime you want.
Welcome back. We are here with Dr. Daniel Sadiq, psychotherapist with a doctorate in clinical psychology and a licensed marriage and family therapist, and the author of Balancing the Wheel. He is the founder of All in Health Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to training therapists in his holistic approach to well-being, which has a unique design of integrative techniques, which has helped thousands of his clients in successful transformation and recovery from addictive behavior, obsessive patterns, and emotional instability. You can find him on Dr. Sadiq, drsadigh.com, and get his book. Hello, Dr. Sadiq.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm so proud of you. Look at you coming up with the balance with your book, Balancing the Wheel. And I know we've talked about it a lot, and it's so awesome to finally have it out. And I hear that it's going to be out by this Friday, right?
Yes, it's going to be out this Friday. And, you know, as you said, it's been a labor of love. You know, it's taken about 7 years to come up with this book, and I'm proud to say that it entails everything that I wanted to say. It's what I practice with my patients, clients, and what I teach my interns. So it has a lot of information that I've accumulated 2 years. I'm very proud to present it to everyone who's interested to self-improve, you know. So it has basics of how you can have a happier life, healthier life, and more prosperous.
So you called the book Balancing the Wheel. So tell us why. What's the wheel? What is it we're balancing? And why do you call it a wheel?
Well, the concept of the wheel is, in my opinion, the concept of the whole universe. You know, as Earth is revolving around a certain, pole in its turning every day, we are turning with those turns, and there are different aspects of our lives that needs to be aligned with that turning of the event. And those start with our physical activities, which includes our fitness, eating, sleeping, and our sexual behavior. Then we have a second part to it, which is our mental facilities, which is the computer that's connecting us to the body. Then we have our emotions, which is what interfaces between the brain, the mind, and the body on the external level of feeling outside and the internal level of feeling inside. Then once we have those balanced, then we have our relationships to have. You know, it's my connection with you and other people that makes meaning in that internet connection of, you know, the two systems. And then we have our recreational activities, with the playing of all of these elements together. As children, we learn through playfulness, and as adults, we still need to play to lubricate all of this system. Then we get to the next stage, which is our environmental factors, which, you know, we have from a small place like our desk all the way to our earth. These are environments. We have to deal with the comfort levels that each space creates for us, or the discomfort that it creates, and the stimulations in this environment. And then once we get out of these six elements, which are all earthly or, you know, physical still, then we get to spirituality, which is us connecting on a different level, which is not physical. And that has its own domain. And then last and most is when you have all of these seven interconnected and integrated with each other, we arrive at the eighth one, which is our financial, which is about the value systems, how we incorporate all of our elemental well-being together and have a central hub, which is the center of that wheel that we're trying to balance all the time, in having values in life and pursuing those values and regenerating all of this energy again to go through all seven again one more time. So it's a revolving, you know, factor of all of these elements that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I, in the book, I have explained different practices, exercises, ways to balance each one of these, and all together how all of these come together and impact a successful, healthy, happy life.
So the reader, after reading the book and as they're going through it, they can actually go through the exercises with the different environment that they have in different areas of their life and look at how to have that particular area balanced with the exercises, and then shift that into a balance of all the areas together, because as it comes down, you also have the area of finances, which definitely, if it's off balance, it really gets all of us off balance in all areas and really gets our anxiety higher. So you bring that back into, and then with that, you kind of like bring the whole thing together as life, where each part of life is working together, cohesive, and moving forward for our betterment.
Exactly. So in my organization is called Balancing. It's called Wheel of Wellbeing, which also has a factor of a wheel test, which anyone who goes on that site, you know, on the Wheel of Wellbeing, there is a free test that they can see all of those eight elements, how they come together or how they are apart from each other. So you can see how well-rounded you are if you go and take that test. You know, so I really suggest to all of your listeners to just take a look at their own wheel and see on what areas they are overcompensating and on what areas they are undercompensating.
Wonderful. Now, the book will be out on February 15th, and you are urging anyone who wants this book to purchase it from Amazon or your website by February 15th. I mean, you can do it after, but if you're really wanting to do it, buy it by February 15th, because we're intending for Dr. Sadeghi's book, Balancing the Wheel, to hit the list. So, tell them where they can find you. How can they find you?
Sure. There is another advantage also to buy it on that day. Whoever who gets it on that day and goes through registering right now on Balancing the Wheel. So if anybody is interested right now until Friday, they can go on the website balancingthewheel.com, which is very just the name of the book, balancingthewheel.com. And by leaving your email addresses on the Friday 15th, you can receive a sales option, which will entitle you to other amenities or other books and other material from our affiliates. So you get a lot more. If you want to buy it at any other time, you can just welcome to go to Amazon and look for Balancing the Wheel book by Dr. Sadeghi. And if you have any questions, you can always contact my office at 310-477-8833. But balancingthewheel.com has all of the information about the book. Anybody who's interested can go. And yes, I appreciate that we come together and, you know, all the supporters and loved ones who care about this book, if we all buy it on that day, hopefully I can have a title added to my title, and that's going to be a best-selling author.
We sure hope so, because I know that I've worked with you. We've had a lot of television shows together, and I know that, you know, when you've talked about this, it brings a lot of people's different areas together, and that's exactly what we need, because when one area does not work, guess what? All other areas don't work. So thank you so much for being on my show and introducing the wonderful book of Balancing the Wheel, and everybody, please go to balancingthewheel.com and go put your name and email and purchase it before Friday, and you will get a lot of more bonuses that way, and if not, even after that in Amazon. Take good care, Dr. Siddiq. It was great
Thank
to have
you. Thank you so much for your love and support. I really appreciate you and wonderful work that you do out there in the world. Thank you.
Thank you. And everyone, we'll be right back with Carly Pollack, and she's an author of The Feed Your Soul. So we're going to talk about your body now.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian is a radio and TV host, international speaker, psychotherapist, life coach, and the author of Life Reset, The Awareness Path to Create the Life You Want. She brings you the latest research and interviews with experts in the field of cognitive sciences. Anyone who loves to grow and create growth for humanity gets a voice on this call-in show. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk KMET 1490 AM and on KMET1490AM.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Fujian, and I have great news for you. I'm offering a special time-limited offer to anyone who's interested in online therapy or coaching sessions. I've developed the awareness integration model, which allows in only 12 weeks to raise your self-esteem and confidence and let go of your thoughts and emotions that produce depression and anxiety for you. So call today to schedule your online session and save $600. Call me today at 818-648-2140. That's 818-648-2140, or go to www.fujian.com.
Dr. Fujian Zain is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain. You're listening to Inner Voice Show, and I'm excited to have Carly Pollack she's with us. She's the author of Feed Your Soul. She's the founder of A Nutritional Wisdom, a thriving private practice based in Austin, Texas. She's a certified clinical nutritionist with a master's degree in holistic nutrition. Carly has been awarded the best nutritionist in Austin 5 years running and has helped over 10,000 people achieve their health and happiness goals. Welcome, Carly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Now, I've got your book right here, everyone. Feed Your Soul. And this is the nutritional wisdom to lose weight permanently and live fulfilled. Help me, because I keep going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. So what's up with lose weight permanently? How did you come up with a model that actually does this?
We teach by example usually. And, you know, if I added up all of the weight that I've gained and lost over the years, I have probably gained and lost over 300 pounds. It's just
Me
the
too.
Same 20 pounds every week. That's, you know, that feeling of food prison during the week and going on a diet and counting your almonds and just being so black and white about food. And then the weekend would come and it was a pendulum swing to reckless abandonment. And I would even feel anxious on Sunday nights because I knew Monday was coming and that was the day I was going to see the light and change my behaviors. That was my experience for so many years, that dieting chaos. And for honestly, when I was seeing clients, it was the same thing for them. It wasn't until I started to study psychology and really understand how the mind works that I was able to combine not only the nutritional science, but more importantly, the tools to help control the voice in your head so ultimately you could modify your behavior and permanently too.
What brought you to write the book? It's the stories of what you had gone through and everybody else. And it's like, finally you said, that's it. I got to tell people how to do this.
Honestly, when I have a coaching practice, I don't coach one-on-one very much anymore, but I still have a few clients and I have coaches at Nutritional Wisdom who teach my method. And you know, people kept coming to me and saying, this is really good. You should write a book. You should write a book. And I just felt like in the nutrition field, it's just so been said and been done. So in the beginning, I really battled that voice, the voice that said, you should write a book. And then my response, which is, ugh, I don't want to put more out there. But then I realized what I'm putting out there is unique. The book Feed Your Soul is not a diet book, although I do use a chapter to teach people what they should eat so they have some sort of clue and guide. But it's not a diet book. It's a mind book about food so that we stop looking at behavior modification, because that's what the diet culture is obsessed with. Eat this, don't eat that, move this way, drink this water, take this supplement. And although you might be getting really good information on how to modify behavior, we know that thoughts ultimately drive all of our behaviors. And so why are we getting stuck in the behavior when ultimately, if we want to heal a behavior at the root, we need to look at the narrative?
Very much. I mean, obviously, I'm a therapist and I work with the mind and worked with my body for all these 57 years. One of the things that I've noticed, Carly, is, you know, I have it as I get so disgusted with myself that I will go to the other side, which is, okay, I will give up pleasure of taste and whatever I want to do at any time I want to do. And then, you know, go all the way to looking good and my desired weight and health and all of that. And then when I'm there, it seems like I start giving myself full on permission again to start with things that I wanted to have, as if it's okay to have that permission. And then the minute I give myself that permission, then the desire for these type of food or this type of behavior puts me right back into the whole cycle again. And I keep giving myself, it's okay, you know, it's not bad. It's just, I'll handle it next week. And it's okay, it's only one party. And it's okay, it's only one day. Until finally it keeps going to a place that is disgusting again for me. And then I go through this whole piece, which is what you said, like 20 up and 20 down and 20 up and 20 down.
And you just said so many wise things. Let me see if I can remember everything. So the first thing you mentioned is you get to a place where you're really just disgusted and done. And I call that a pain threshold, that we all have this nagging pain about our health. And I'm not talking physical pain, although it could be. But mostly it's emotional, not feeling good in our genes, not feeling confident in our body. Maybe it's an energy thing. It could be physical or digestive. And then we hit a pain threshold, and that threshold is different for everyone, but the threshold looks like we're just not willing to take it anymore. And then we become extremely motivated to do whatever it is and whatever it takes to get a better result. What happens when we're motivated by pain is that as soon as we start moving away from the pain goes away, which was our main motivator. And so the stories change. Your story went from, I have to do something about this, to, I'm feeling okay. I could, you know, I could have this one thing, which brings me to one of the most important formulas I talk about in the book. The formula is very simple, but very powerful, which is that all of our thoughts drive our emotional state, and that based on our emotions, we behave a certain way. So it's thoughts drive emotions and emotions drive behavior. And then that behavior will give you a consequence or a reward, which ultimately will create a feedback loop. But the mind, as you know, is not logical, because what you're saying is you have a thought, which is, I have to get this under control. Your emotion is then you're motivated to do all of these wonderful things for yourself. Your behavior is you eat clean, maybe you cut out sugar, perhaps you make an extra workout a week. And then your reward is you lose weight. And you would think, because you have a reward, that the mind would then reinforce the thought, I really need to do this. But instead, very often, it reinforces a different thought, which is, I could have this, no big deal. Hence us going back and forth between our pain threshold and a little bit beyond, never to the place where we're ultimately at peace. The third very intuitive thing you said was that you have a story. And I feel like, because I've seen so many people, we all have the same stories, but each of us have one story that we tell ourselves more than any other story, especially around food. And mine personally is, I'll say, oh, I don't care. When in reality, it's such a lie. I care so deeply about my health. I say I care about how my body looks and how I look in my clothes and in a bathing suit. But in the moment I go, screw it. It's, you know, it's Friday. I don't care. Or I'm tired. I don't care. And that's the story that I need to bring a lot of awareness to and rewrite. Whereas yours might be, I deserve this treat. And yours is a reward based. Somebody else could have a story. Oh, I have so far to go. Why even start? And then the other most popular one I hear is, I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah, done that a lot. Yeah, the reward for me is more the taste is ups all of the other rewards at that moment. So as long as, you know, I'm healthy, as long as I still look good and somebody gives me a compliment about how I look, then the reward obviously is eating the things that I want to eat whenever I want to eat them. Now, obviously, anything I say is not logical, and everybody's listening and they're like, yes, Dr. Fujian saying you're not being logical at all. But that's the truth. The truth is, like you said, there are parts of us that are logical, and there are definitely parts of us that are not. And the ones that are not logical usually get us into trouble anyway. And we go through the cycle consistently. Now, you also in your book talk about hoping to neutralize the word diet. What do you mean by that? Neutralize the word diet.
I feel like when you say the word diet, any of us who have dieted before, and I'm certainly in that category, I've done the oddest, strangest diets out there. But we get so worked up when we hear the word diet. It immediately feels like restriction to us. And now we have this movement that's kind of like the anti-diet movement. And I want to neutralize it, because the truth is everybody's on a diet. Diet is just, when you define it, it's just a word for how we eat. You could be on the French fry diet. You could be on the grapefruit diet, the paleo, the vegan diet. But everybody is on a diet. Everybody eats a certain way. I see in my practice, because we practice so much functional medicine, there are so many people that have sensitive digestive systems or blood sugar issues, skin issues, immune system issues, autoimmune diseases, where if we don't neutralize the word diet, and then you're someone that needs to be gluten-free or minimal dairy, then the second you get put on a diet that's actually good for your body, you'll then go into scarcity mode and not be able to be consistent on that diet. So I want to neutralize it, because ultimately, if you have to be on some sort of healing diet, whether it's for short term or long, I want it to be something that we can attach pleasure to. Oh, I have clarity. I know what my body needs, instead of, uh-oh, I'm on a diet. This feels wrong. And I'm going to be crazy because diets come with chaos.
So one of the things I'm hearing from you is, when I put myself into a scarcity mode, which is, bringing, for example, the calories down or restrict ourselves to a particular thing, the way that our psyche and our body reacts to it, it only looks at it as a short-term concept, because it's not going to look at it. It's not going to look at my whole life doing this. So there has to be another way of handling, calling it something else and doing something else, which is more like a lifestyle, versus it's a short-term diet that I'm just going to handle, and my body will go into the mentality of scarcity, versus a lifestyle concept of, I got to do something that my body loves it, my body handles it well, my body wants it, and then yet it keeps me also into a space of health and looking good.
Yeah, you know, if we dig under the surface, even just a little bit, what we're going to see is a pain and pleasure association, which I dedicate an entire chapter of my book, because it's one of the most important tools that I still use day to day. Humans are wired for survival. And part of that survival mind is, we don't do anything that causes pain. In fact, we trigger a fight or flight response. We only do things that cause us pleasure. But we are really wired in instant gratification, because survival in primordial times was never long term. It was food, shelter, water. It was in the now. Well, as we've evolved, our mind sadly has not. So we have scrambled pain and pleasure pathways to where I attach pleasure to staying up too late watching that ninth Netflix episode. But then the next morning I wake up and I attach so much pain to waking up early, to doing what I need to do, and most likely will press snooze, skip that workout, not pre-chop my vegetables, which means that I don't have dinner ready. And it's just a really vicious cycle when it comes to your health. Time is the number one pain association that I hear when people talk about health. So for example, you said, taste is a really big thing for you, and you wind up, when you're exhausted or when you feel like you want a reward, really go, or stressed or anxious, really going for that taste piece. What I have found for myself is that I need to spend legitimate time in the kitchen to make foods that are really delicious and healthy, because healthy foods that don't take a lot of time to cook are boring. I could put together a salad and throw chicken on it. Blah, so boring. I could roast a bunch of vegetables and eat a piece of fish. Boring. And these things are, of course, healthy. But if I take the extra 15 minutes and make a sauce with herbs and cashews, and all of a sudden I'm so excited about that, but it takes time. So what you're talking about, I've experienced as well. I go for taste and I attach pleasure to going out to eat and having, but ultimately I just want food that tastes good. Yep. When I do a little digging, I realize that I'm not willing, or I'm not prioritizing time in the kitchen, because I associate pain to it. I have so much more to do. I associate pleasure to getting my email list under control, or growing my business, or being with my baby, or whatever it is. And on the surface, we don't see that. On the surface, we have this narrative that says, why am I such a pig? And I just love food and I can't control myself around food. I mean, that's what most, I would say more women than men, I would say, but that's what most people are saying to themselves. And notice when we dig underneath and really get the story, if I could entice you to make a few meals that tasted really delicious, it doesn't mean that we still wouldn't want our pizza and our french fries and our decadent meals out. But less often would we need to do that, because we're feeling satisfied and fulfilled by healthy food. In fact, the book, the first title was called Finally Fulfilled. And I was playing on the term fulfilled, because when you feel fulfilled by life, you don't feel like you need to fill with food. And if we can get to feel fulfilled by healthy foods, by taking a little bit more time with them, we wouldn't need to fill with those super decadent, you know, foods that taste good for 4 minutes, but create a lifetime of discomfort.
You just said something that I really realized this past weekend, which is because of not giving myself the time to rest. Like I go from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. back to back with clients, like 13 clients back to back. And I work trauma also. So you can imagine couples and trauma, you know, what it does to my body. And then I get, you know, people ready for our show and all of that. So I realize I am so exhausted. Like at one point I could just cry. I'm so exhausted. And then I found myself, I didn't even know what I was eating. So I had a full breakfast in IHOP because we were going with the kid. And then I came and I had guests in the house and doing things. Within 2 hours, I had full-on meal again. And I'm looking at my plate and I'm like, I just have full-on breakfast in IHOP. What am I doing? And I promise you, I finished that. And if 2 hours later you gave me a full-on something else, I would have been eating it and not even realizing that I'm eating so much. And I just sat there. I'm like, I am so disconnected from my body at this point. I'm so tired. So I disconnect from my body and come right over here. And then whatever is there, it's the taste is only the element of pleasure that I get in my body at that moment. Because if I actually sit down and relax, just the tiredness and the, you know, like the pain of my body would show up. So I switched it to just, okay, I just want taste in my mouth and that's my only pleasure. And the realization of like you, what you just said, if and when I don't give myself time to take care of myself, whether it's going in the kitchen and creating tasteful concepts, or I don't give myself enough time to sleep or rest and all of that, food becomes something that apparently is my tasty reward, which then ultimately I start gaining weight and it doesn't feel good to me anyway.
This happens with healers all of the time, and people, even if it's not people like you and I whose job is to help other people, but just even mothers,
yes,
people who are nourishing other people, is that when you make a list of all the pleasures in your life, there's not that many, because even though people like you and I would say work is a pleasure, it's our passion, it's what we do, it's still work. Mm-hmm. And that feeling of not having enough self-care, which I almost hate saying that word because it's such a buzzword, you know, but it's a buzzword for a reason. It doesn't mean that you have to take a bubble bath. You know, I don't want people to think that self-care just means taking a bubble bath. But if you don't take more time for you, you're going to see it show up as some sort of consequence. And just like in medicine, Chinese medicine would say that everybody has a weak organ, meaning that when they're under an incredible amount of stress, that there's the first organ to poop out will be. And, you know, for someone, it's thyroid. For somebody else, it's their reproductive hormones. For someone else, it's going to be their digestive system. Well, I feel like everybody has a weakness when it comes to not getting enough fulfillment, pleasure, and self-care, whether for someone that's online shopping or drinking, gambling, for me, it's food. And then online shopping, number two. But for me, it's food. It always has been food. So when I say that your plate is a reflection of your inner state, what I mean by that is that instead of looking at food as this thing that nourishes us or makes us gain weight or makes us lose weight, what if we take a more spiritual perspective and say, my plate can teach me so much about who I am, where I am in my healing journey. And so what that weekend you describe where you say, I ate at IHOP and then 2 hours later I'm eating, I would look at that and say, okay, well, what is your plate telling you? And you really were intuitive enough to hear it instead of it saying, oh, put the fork down, you have no control over food, you this, which is how deprecating we are to ourselves. Instead, your plate was saying, you need rest. You need, you know, solo time. You even said you had people at the house. You know, you need solo time. You need regeneration. You need, and that's what it was calling for. And so anytime I wind up in the pantry at 9 p.m. What happened to me the other day? I went into the pantry three times, and we've all had this experience because I don't keep unhealthy food in my home or else I would eat it. So I go into the pantry to eat something. I look around. I'm not impressed by my almond butter and gluten-free crackers. So I walk away. And then 2 minutes later, I come back as if some food would like marshmallows would magically appear. They did not. I have news for you. And I walked back and then really unconsciously walked again into the pantry. And awareness came to me and I just started laughing because, you know, if there was some unhealthy food, I would have already been on the couch with the food streaming down my face. But because there wasn't, I just had this behavior of walking into the pantry multiple times was I need comfort. And I did. I was having, you know, I have a 9-month-old. I'm incredibly sleep deprived and I have no time to myself. I'm all touched out. And here I was at the pantry trying to see if almond butter could fix all my problems. But it was this moment for me to say, okay, I really need to look at my stories. Because remember, thoughts, emotions, behaviors. So what is my story about taking time for myself? Is there a guilt story there about if I'm not working, I should be with the baby? And is that story at its core not only, you know, behaviorally having me show up as a tired mom, but having me in the pantry wanting to eat my feelings of really what I need to do is change my story about to be the best mom and the best boss and the best wife that I need this time alone. Changing that narrative is the most powerful thing I could do ultimately to keep my body healthy.
Yes. Now, you spoke about law of attraction into the conversation of book and into the conversation of diet. How do you get law of attraction in there?
Well, we would define law of attraction as like attracts like. And I have a term that I made up, which I call food karma. And food karma for me is that we crave the very foods that have the same vibration that we're feeling, the vibrational energy that we're feeling, which sounds very woo-woo. So I'll just explain that when we're feeling really high vibration emotions, which are happiness, joy, confidence, we crave healthy foods. It's like leaving a yoga class and craving a juice or a smoothie or a salad or leaving a workout and you feel so good about yourself. I've never left a workout and said, oh, I really want some fried chicken. That's just never happened. But when I'm PMSing and when I'm stressed and when I'm feeling low vibration emotions like stress, anxiety, overwhelm, frustration, anger, I crave low vibration foods, which are processed, heavy, fried foods. And the worst part is that we call these foods comfort foods, but they don't make you feel comfortable.
Not at all.
And words carry a lot of power. So I would just like to see someone who eats fried chicken and French fries and wants to feel comfortable after or wants to run a marathon or look good in a bathing suit. I really want to, you know, clear up the connection between how we feel and what we choose to eat.
You also say that before we attempt to achieve anything, we must begin by having extreme clarity about the outcome of what we want to create and why obviously we do. But I also experience there's like, you know, sometimes two levels of conversations going on at the same time, which are both important. And then yet they're completely in opposite of each other. Like, I want to be healthy. I want to be looking good. I want to have good energy. And then I want taste. And especially in, like you said, the foods that are not healthy and are not going to give me that. And they're both going, you know, straight forward. And part of the clarity is to choose between, because you're not going to get two of them at the same time. Eating one is not going to create the other results. So why is the step of the clarity is so essential in the whole part of creating the result that you want?
First, in that example, I always try to see if I can create both. Sometimes I can't, right? Sometimes you can't sleep in and also be in the best shape of your life because you've got to wake up early and get that workout.
Right.
But sometimes you can create a healthy meal that you are really excited about. It just depends on the situation. What I want people to understand is that every time you're saying yes to something, you're always saying no to something else. There is the yin yang of it all. Our minds tend to look only at what we're saying no to. So when you say no to waking up early and working out, you are saying yes to more sleep. And I'm not necessarily saying that that's a horrible thing. It depends on what your goals are. When I say no to eating out, I'm saying yes to waking up in the next morning with a flatter stomach or a feeling better digestion. I want people to start weighing out both the yes and no to create that clarity. Why that's so important is because any time in your life that you create clarity, you'll notice your motivation goes through the roof. I joke in the book about not getting in the way of a woman before her wedding. If you're at Whole Foods and there's one prepackaged salad left, you better step aside if that woman is about to get married, because she will elbow you in the face. I mean, that woman has such clarity. So it's important to really be clear on your outcome so that you can increase your motivation.
Wonderful. Where can they find your book, Feed Your Soul?
They can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound.
And what is your website if they want to find you?
My website is carlypollack.com, and my private practice in Austin is nutritionalwisdom.com.
Wonderful. It's been a joy to have you. Thank you so much. Food for thought from me, to just kind of like, you know, bringing me back into a space of lack of frustration and kind of knowing that I got to give myself time and then go back and create fun food that really are healthy for me. And I hope that everyone who's listening got the wisdom from Carly, and that you go and get her book, Feed Your Soul. It was a joy to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And for everyone who's listening, create a fantastic, a wonderful, an amazing day and a week for yourself and everyone around you. Bye-bye.